Hi there, my friends. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on Very Proud to Be Associated with WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life at a very important time in WBAI, which is our fund drive, the time when we raise the money to help keep this program going. And I want to tell you, friends, I've heard this CD, Incident at Doglova, which is the Leonard Peltier story, which you just heard about. Please keep those calls coming in. It is it's a very valuable CD. It's something that you could use, you could learn from, you could understand, and is vitally important. So you could be still calling in now, even as I do the program, 212-209-2950, because I'll be bringing you stuff, but this is really dynamic. This is really exciting. 212-209-2950. Today, I mean, the theme of the marathon here at WBAI is homeland insecurity, and of course the Leonard Peltier story is kind of perfect for being related to that, because we're still in the midst of that battle. Homeland insecurity is something that touches the heart of everybody. Everybody gets shaken, you know, but at some point we're supposed to be able to adapt. If you are somebody who's from Europe, you know that a change in government could certainly destroy your whole city, destroy your relatives. You could be rolled over by tanks, you know, in the morning when you wake up if you don't know anything about it. You know, and suddenly something happens. Europe is really used to this. Here in the United States, we're kind of immune. We kind of sit here and we say, we live a nice, peaceful life. Nobody's going to threaten us. So give us a threat, and it'll shake us up. And it'll shake us up so much that we're likely to do anything that anybody says. And this is what homeland security and insecurity is about. It's about shaking up our spirit. On Tuesday, following next week, I'm going to be doing a program called Paranoia or Reality, which is going to present to you, this is next Tuesday, what happens to different states, different minds, to different kind of people's minds, you know, when they're shaken. Some people who are more fragile than other people don't get as shaken. But, you know, we talk about being shaken, and I want to move it to a much lighter level, because next Tuesday, which is Valentine's Day, I'm going to be talking about paranoia. So today, I want to talk about a spirit that gets shaken, and I'm going to talk about love. By understanding some of the elements of love, believe it or not, you can understand the elements of your insecure mind. So today I'm going to approach love in a different kind of way. Today I'm going to take this and I'm going to throw a little bit of lightness into our program here at WBAI. I'm going to throw a little bit of light, L-I-G-H-T-ness, because this stuff is so serious. It's so heavy. You listen to what's going on and you listen to the reports that we're giving you about shootings and deaths and killings, and it just weighs your heart down. But so does love. So if you learn about love and you learn about the fragility of the human spirit, especially when it relates to love, you learn about personal insecurity in home, in the home of yourself. So stick with me. This is going to be interesting and it's going to be fun. I want to talk about love. I have one of my associates who has been my researcher, Stephanie Dumbra, is in the studio with me today, and we've been doing research on a thing called limerence. Oh, my friends, the limerent person. Yes, you're going to learn about this today because you've been there, I promise you. I hope so, actually. Maybe you haven't been. I'm going to talk about three kinds of love. One kind of love is when you're in love. Well, you care about another person, the other person cares about you, you care about their well-being, you want to protect them, you want to take care of them, you want to hug them, squeeze them, hold them. Love. Regard. High regard based on reality. Love. You see them warts and all, and you accept them, bottom line, for who they are. So we take that, and I'm going to use for this the description from Stranger in a Strange Land. Heinlein was asked, well, actually the stranger, the traveler from another planet was asked, what is love? And the answer was, love is the total acceptance of another human being for exactly what they are, with no desire to change them for your own needs. See, you can love somebody else and desire that they change, but not to have them change for your own needs. You don't marry somebody or get together with somebody and say, I'll change them. That's not love. Love is the absence of that, but it's the regard of another being. Now I want to talk about two other forms of affection, attraction, and love. Three other forms. Let's talk about lust. Lust is a sexual desire. What triggers lust? Who knows? What makes lust happen? It seems to be chemical. It seems to be smells. It seems to be pheromones. And it seems to be something inside you has a biological imperative that says you got to meet with this person. And you have to meet with them, and you have to get together with them, and you've got to put your things together to come up with whatever you can come up with. But that drives you. That's passion. It feels like a physical passion. So lust is one. Love is another. Sometimes there's lust and love go together. See, that's a good thing. Lusty love. Now, limerence. Well, actually, there's another kind. It's not only limerence. There's also love sickness. For this, I'm going to call on my associate, Stephanie Dombra, who is a specialist in dealing with love sickness and relationships and sex therapy as well. Stephanie, welcome to.
Hi, Armand.
Tell me about love sickness.
Love sickness is another term for unrequited love or love that's not returned. So often a person will get involved in this whole idea of the other person. They fall in love with someone, and the other person doesn't even know that this one person who's thinking about them, they don't even know they exist.
Okay, so unrequited means not returned.
Not returned.
I mean, you may know they exist, but you don't feel the same way.
Right.
Okay, now that's a beginning. A beginning is you're attracted to somebody and you're in love with them. You're fascinated by them. But this is an illness, isn't it?
Well, it's like obsessive compulsive disorder. You're always thinking about this person. You're imagining what it would be like to be with them. You have all these fantasies and you get manic. You get really kind of involved in this whole thing and you have hyper energy. Sometimes you lose sleep. You have all these physical symptoms. Your stomach is aching. Your heart is aching. Your chest. There are real physical things. And sometimes people could get so crazy, so to speak, that they could kill themselves or they could kill the other. You know, we've heard of these kind of things where a person will feel like so rejected from some idea that the person's not going to return their love, that they either act to hurt themselves or the other.
In one or two conditions around this kind of unrequited love, the person will look at the person who doesn't love them, and rather than believe that that person doesn't love me, they believe the reason that person doesn't love me is because their mate is in the way. And they've been known to have people commit homicide, to kill people who are in the way. Now, I know you're listening with a sharp ear, my friends. You can listen to political invasion, you could listen to a lot of the political moves, you could listen to war, and it all sounds the same. It sounds like love. It sounds like I have an idea about you that you don't have about me, so I'm going to kill you. Happens. Now that is unrequited love. That's borderline love. That's also, that's the kind of love that you've seen in a couple of movies. What are the famous movies that show that?
Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction was perfect for that, right?
Very irrational. You're not thinking with judgment.
And it doesn't matter what the other person, how they respond.
You have to get this. That's how it feels for them. I have to have their love, or else I'll die.
Mm-hmm. And so you'll continue and continue this attraction, and it could last a long time. Now we're going to talk about limerence. Limerence is a fascinating thing. Limerence, it's a new word for you, friends. It's like infatuation. How many times have you encountered a friend, a colleague, a relative who confesses with sparkling eyes and a dreamy voice that they're in love? Then a few weeks or a few months later and you see this person again and you inquire about their new love and they say, oh, him, it didn't work out. Don't mention their name again. Right? Wait a minute. I thought it was, is love blind? Do we enter an altered state of awareness when we fall in love and with a misperceived love person? Dr. Tenov, Dorothy Tenov, wrote a book and coined a phrase called love and limerence back in 1977. And Dr. Tenov took this word limerence to identify a particular state of mind in which the early stages of attraction and infatuation, during which you see no faults in the object of your desire. You see, I like it to be called the object of your desire as an OD, as an obsessive disorder, right? The object of your desire. You see this person and you're in love with them, and you are going to get them to respond to you. But there's a very important thing about limerence that makes it different than lovesickness. In limerence, you must have reciprocity. See, in lovesickness, it's all about you. It's about you and the love you have and how big you are and how it makes you feel. But it really doesn't involve the other person. In limerence, it does involve the other person. And in this stage of infatuation, you get reciprocity. You're going to look for signs that they give you that they really care about you the same way you care about them. And so limerence is sometimes referred to as being in love with sometimes, as opposed to loving somebody, which is different, you see. Being truly in love with somebody means you see all the sides of them and they see all the sides of you. In a limerent love, notice the adjective, limerent love, you see the other person, but you kind of blind yourself. You see only the good parts and you ignore the bad parts. You put on blinders. Why would humans be like this? Humans tend to be blind. It's part of what we see in the way we function all the time. And I wonder if the basis of all of our political disorders is the blindness that comes from this mating ritual that we have. Stephanie, you had a theory, and it was an interesting theory about why people are limerent. Why would people have this kind of attraction to another human being just so that, you know, and see only the good parts and not see the whole picture? What was, and this is really theoretical on your part.
It's very theoretical. It's just my speculation after what I've seen. I think that if we saw the whole picture in the beginning, we might disregard the person as a potential mate to procreate. We're wired to procreate and promote the species to continue. If we didn't have these blinders, I don't think that we would necessarily pick the partners, and maybe the attraction, the limerence, is to get you to see people that have different DNA than you and that will make you mate with that person.
Well, it's interesting about the DNA. We are attracted most to people who have a different DNA from us because in some way that helps us improve our immune system.
Right.
So now, if you're going to be limerent, the thing you want to do is look at the other person and think that you have commonality with them and not see the difference. You don't see the differences. That's very interesting, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's like you purposely don't see that they have different DNA. They have different preferences, different smells, things that are going to bug you later.
That will bug you, and you'll eventually leave if you, nowadays, in this modern day, we really go through our list. When you think about dating, people go through their lists and say, okay, I want this person to have this criteria, that. They do this match.com dating. They bypass a lot of stuff. Because they think that they want to see, you know, this perfect mate. But the limerence is a good experience to get you to just forget about the bad things and go with that person. So it serves us.
So it serves us in a way to be blindly in love. Blindly in love is a nice kind of idea because in some way it does something for you. And it really is taking place a lot in internet dating, internet relationships. In an internet relationship, a person could present to you anything they want to present, and you could see exactly what you want to see. And people are in love with the internet relationships. You can have a relationship and think about it all the time and think about how you and that person can't get together, and they're writing back about their love for you. And it could be a married person from Idaho writing to another married person from, you know, Tokyo, and the two of them are talking to each other about their love, that if only they could finally get it and have it happen, and they go through this wonderful limerent experience. Now, here's what happened with limerence. Limerence doesn't remain limerence. It usually lasts about a year and a half at the very most. Then it turns into something. Limerence at the very beginning, if it's, remember, the person's got to give you a little back. If it's limerence, they're going to tell you yes, and then things begin to happen. There's obstruction. Obstruction is a concept that prevents a real relationship from happening because there could be either distance or it could be another mate. It could be something in the way, but it fuels the limerence. Because your belief is that person really wants to be with you, but they have something else in the way. So there's obstruction, then there's this kind of consummation, which is what happens when you finally get together with the person, and the two of you take this limerent experience of being infatuated with each other, and you bring it to the fore, and you get together, and you still can blindly not see each other, and you kind of feel like you've fallen in love. It's kind of wonderful. It's terrific. And what it could do is, if there's not too much stuff in the way, a limerent love can turn into a real love. You can be infatuated at the beginning, and then it could turn into truly being in love. But another thing that happens is, because a limerent love is based on reciprocity, remember that, you've got to be getting something back from the other person, is starvation. Starvation as a concept in limerent love, it's called limerent starvation. Limerent starvation is about a person who is kind of going after the other person, but they're getting no positive feedback, and the limerence fades, disappears. In which case, there is, believe it or not, limerent starvation transformation, or LST for those of you war fans. LST used to be landing ships and tanks. Limerent starvation transformation is when suddenly you feel that, hey, this person doesn't love me. But if you're a limerent kind of person, you immediately shift it to another person. This happens a lot with, it happens a lot in love sickness. It happens with movie stars. You know, you love this movie star, you love this movie star, and then everything you read about the movie star, you know, it kind of touches you. Oh, yes, they're exactly what I thought they were. Then they do one wrong thing. You know, like the person gave away their dog. And you completely turn off to them. How could you do such a thing, and you just find another movie star to love? Now, this sounds like it's childish stuff, right? Well, it's the truth. Limerence is childlike love. It's what happens in high school. It's what happens to people when they're trying to, at the beginning, you see, but what happens after a while, if you're somebody who's loved and felt the heartbreak and the agony of limerent love, you eventually stop doing it. Yep, you no longer trust those feelings. You don't fall in love anymore, you know? You remember when you were a kid when you had that ache, but I'll tell you something. The ache of a limerent love and the all that goes with it certainly has a feeling of being alive like nothing else does. I mean, you feel ecstasy. Ecstasy when you're in a limerent love, because all you're doing is seeing the beauty in the other person, and you're not seeing all the warts and all the other problems. You're not seeing any of that. listening to John Coltrane, some of the best of John Coltrane. I got kind of carried away with that one. 212-209-2950, my friends, you can call in. That's Slow Train with John Coltrane. You know, we're talking here about the different states of mind that humans experience, and the different states of mind that people experience. If you could just understand the fragility of the human mind, you have to understand how fragile it is. And if you think about humans in love, you understand the fragility of the human mind. What is it about it? What is it about the human mind that makes it so vulnerable to affection, to caring, to needing to connect, to finding safety? Well, of course it makes sense. You know, all we need is love, and all we have to do is love each other, and it's all about love, and love is what the end product is. But what is it about that stuff? What is it about that stuff that drives us? When you think about limerence, which is what we were talking about a little while ago, which is described as acute longing for reciprocity from somebody who, you know, who may or may not love you, who does love you back, in effect, but somebody with whom you're infatuated, you know, and you just can't stop thinking about them, and you think about them, and then you think about only the good things. You don't think about the bad things. And then whenever there's an adversity of any kind, like distance, other partners, even a minor rejection, it intensifies limerence. Think about high school years, and think about the kind of falling in love, that, you know, infatuation of a teenager. You know, where at the beginning of meeting a new boyfriend, you know, for the first week, she just, like, can't get her eyes off him, and she can't, you know, he's perfect, he's such a doll. Well, limerence is dependent on an aching of the heart when uncertainty is strong. It means that you need uncertainty to feel this aching of your heart. Now, why does uncertainty feed our love need? That's an interesting question. If you could, Michael, not now on the phones. I'll get back to them later. We have interesting telephones now. Some of them ring, some of them don't ring. Lead two phones ring, and the rest are silent. But the heart, you know, if you think about the way people are when it comes to love, people are crazy in love. And that must mean that people love to be crazy, because most relationships are so tumultuous and such torment and so agonizing, if you think about it, that you wonder why people do this. But then you look at this and you say, how crazy, what a crazy relationship, how could they be in love with each other? And then you look at a country that does a very similar thing. It's almost like our mind is set for this. It's almost like we want confusion and conflict and agony. And what does everybody in love claim? Everybody in love claims the same thing. All I wanted to do is be peaceful and loving. And that's everybody in this country says the same thing. I wanted to be peaceful and loving. All I want is love and peace. Even our current government says all I want is love and peace. I want a piece of Iran, a piece of Iraq, a piece of Afghanistan. I want it to be loving and accepted, and we should just go in there and everybody should welcome us with open arms. Funny perceptions we have about love, and we have about ourselves in love. So I think it's very important to understand ourselves. I think it's very important that we get as much information about ourselves as possible to understand our mind and what drives us. A little earlier, Stephanie Dumber said there was kind of, why would people do this, you know? And it's almost like if you have blinders on, then maybe you'll just go find somebody and mate, and you won't ask too many questions. If there weren't limerence, do you know how much fewer people there would be on this planet? I mean, I am sure a lot of babies wouldn't be born if it weren't for the limerence factor, the infatuation, the blindly seeing the other person. And then what happens when you love somebody or you fall in love with somebody, you blindly see them, you rush into a marriage, which is what many people do. You know, 2 weeks and boom, they're married. And then the baby comes along, and then you look at the other person, as many of you do now, you look at your partner and say, what was I thinking? How did I not see this stuff that's here? So being able to understand ourselves and understand other people, that's really what the program The Positive Mind is about. I come to you three times a week, just trying to bring you ideas, concepts, things to think about, different personalities, so that you don't wind up hating each other, and you don't also wind up blind about each other. We did a program on psychopaths one time, and it was about the psychopathic personality, and it talks about the charm of the psychopath, and many of you who could meet somebody who is a psychopath would think, oh, what a nice guy, what a wonderful guy, what a wonderful person. I got letters from people who told me that through the program, they were able to test out a couple of the signs that I had, and they uncovered that there was this person, not only that, but two people uncovered a criminal history. And the person that they were with, who they didn't even ask about their background, and they were safely dating. Limerent love. Nothing wrong with limerent love. It's a nice thing to have. Limerent love, when it's tested, you know, you wind up saying, okay, does she really love me? Does he love me? And you believe it at first, and you believe it. Internet dating is all about it, you know. You believe everything you see. And then for a while you feel the infatuation of it, and you talk about it, you dream about it, you wake up in the middle of the night looking for your emails, you know, that kind of stuff, limerent love. But that does turn into something. It's not necessarily a state of mind that's a disturbance. What it does is it gets tested, and if for any reason the person does not give you back what you need, if you don't get back what you need, then eventually you say, it kind of dies. And you move on to the next person, or maybe you don't move on to anyone at all. And if you do get what you need, it could turn into a profound love.
I just wanted to add to that, Armand, that something I hear often from a lot of women, I'll say, I don't want to generalize, but they wish that their partner, and I think it's during this limerent experience, they wish they would love them back the way they love the person. If I'm clear about that. Why can't he love me this way? Why can't he listen to me? Why can't he show me this kind of affection that I show him? And I think when people pass through that stage where they can accept that they're going to be loved differently than the way they love, that's a key thing to this reciprocity. I think that's maturity and going from falling in love to really being in love with that person, loving that person, accepting them, that they're not going to love you exactly the way you want, but you're going to get what you need.
You know, Stephanie, I think that's kind of smart, because there are people who I have seen, and they believe they have the definition of love. They know what love is. Love is when you turn over everything, you know. Love is when you love me completely. Love is when you give me everything you have. Love is when you want to share your whole self. Love is when you want to give up your individuality and your privacy. You don't need a private room if you love me. And so then the person makes up statements. You're not allowed to have ever had a previous partner. If you give me an image that you had a previous partner, I don't love you. Right? So you're not allowed to talk about that. You're not allowed to look at anybody else who's attractive. You're not allowed, and they have all these rules of what love is about. And the idea is, I love you a certain way, you must love me back the same way. Well, I think you're right. What mature love is about is about an acceptance that the other person is different. An acceptance that they are different and they have different needs than we do, and they have different feelings than we do. I mean, it's a gross movement I'm going to make right here. But if you try to believe in some of the different Muslim perceptions of us from their point of view, and especially people who strongly disagree with us politically, you got to step in their shoes. You got to step in the shoes of the person who sees us as representative of the evil demon, you know, that we live that life. So we look at them and we say, oh, they're wrong. They should be democratic and they should be like us. And they look at us and they say, you're wrong because you certainly got to be like us. And that's where war exists. Being able to accept another person for exactly what they are and to let them love you the way that they could love you, and for you to accept and see the limitations of their love and take it anyway. Especially, you know, Valentine's Day coming up, to those of you where it has significance, this great thing that has been sold to you about one particular day. You know, if he gets you one flower or if he gets the day, you know, it may not be his way of loving. It may not be her way of loving. That's what we try to bring you. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Passionate Mind. the positive mind. You know, it's love is such a beautiful thing, and loving people is a beautiful thing, and being able to understand people is a beautiful thing, and that's why we ask you to donate money to this station. Music, Afro Blue. Shades of Delight, Afro Blue. Remember that? Afro Blue by Mongo Santa Maria. Mongo is an interesting character. Let me tell you, I spent just a little time in his presence. I used to feature myself as a, think of myself as a drummer before Mongo Santa Maria. Oh my gosh. Hey, my friends, 212-209-2950. Make your calls right now to the station. They'll tell you what we're offering. But as well as the premiums that I'm offering, make yourself, avail yourself to the many premiums that are available through here, through WBAI. You can look at the website, WBAI.org. They give you a list site of all the different premiums that are available. Please take advantage of them, because everything you order, everything you do supports this station. And this station needs and wants your support. At a time when the government is cutting funding, could you believe, to public broadcasting. How would they do such a thing? Why would they do anything like that? Why would George Bush and the other guys not want you to be listening to WBAI and all the information that we give you about what's real? 212-209-2950, my friends. You make your calls. You get your calls in here. Remember, $150 donation. You can speak to me for a half hour. It will not take you a long time to get to me. I'm putting those times aside now. I could even do some of it on weekends so that I can fill all the requests. 212-209-2950. Half hour meeting with me, talking with me. You send me an email. Tell me what you want to talk about. Send me a photograph so I can look at your beautiful face. And then when we talk, well, maybe we'll look across a computer at each other on a photograph and we'll talk to each other. Might be a nice way to do it. 212-209-2950. I'm going to be leaving you in the hands of Mongo Santa Maria and Michael G. Haskins. I'll be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m. Special thanks, Stephanie Dombra, for your help with this today.
You're welcome, Armand.
And your research, the amazing stuff. Remember, the subject
very
was...
fun.
Subject is limerence, L-I-M-E-R-E-N-C-E. You could look it up on your internet, and you're going to find fascinating information about it. Back with you on Tuesday.
Are tuned to listener-supported, commercial-free, community radio, WBAI, WBAI.org, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. Coming up in a moment will be Perspective with Luis Reyes Rivera. We're in our fundraising drive now, the first week, the first couple of days of our winter fundraising drive here at WBAI. We need to hear from you so that we can continue to bring you programs like The Positive Mind with Armand DeMille, like the program before Armand DeMille, First Voices, Indigenous Radio, and Democracy Now!, and Wake Up Call, and Talk Back with Hugh Hamilton, all of the programs that you hear at this frequency, 99.5 FM. We also are available on the web at WBAI.org, and you can make a secured pledge online at that website, WBAI.org. Why don't we go to the website for a moment? Just click on WBAI.org. Just type it in real quick. You done that? Have you done that? Okay, WBAI.org. The website comes up, and on the right corner, it says WBAI Contribute Here Online. Or actually, it says Contribute Online Here. Let's get it straight. Contribute Online Here. And so you can make your contribution via the Internet, a secured pledge to this radio station. But the number to call, if you can, and we hope that you do, is 212-209-2950. Make your pledge now for WBAI. $25 and you will become a member of this radio station. My name is Michael G. Haskins, your radio host and guide. Thank you so much for tuning in. And stay tuned for Perspective with Luis Reyes Rivera.
Remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.